We see His goodness today. We've seen His glory. Amen? I want you to turn over to James chapter 2, but I'm going to read a scripture to you real quick. While we're turning, let me just say a quick prayer. Father, help our eyes to see. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Eric asked me, and I didn't know what to do because I've had sermons the night before. I've had sermons to change their tone and teachings, and they just go a completely different direction. I've had things that get up inside of me a month before I'm supposed to speak it. So I begin to meditate. I'm like, well, this is Labor Day, and that just kind of struck me in my heart, right? And it's like, well, maybe I need to teach on rest, because that's what we do on Labor Day. We spend a little time in rest. But that's not what the Lord had for me today, and I may talk about that towards the end, because it's kind of two-sided the way I was looking at it. But this is what's in my heart this morning, guys, is that we've been resting too long on our laurels, on our backsides. Article came out in 2011, said that 20% of the church is doing 80% of the work. And I am not signing you up for ministry today. That is not my heart. I'm not trying to twist your arm so that you would come here and work more in the church. I am not. That is not my motive. If you do that and that's what God speaks to you, I applaud you and you inspire me. That is not my heart this morning. My heart is to see you see who you really are in Christ. And let's just talk about it. In 1 Corinthians 15, you might want to write some of these down, but go ahead. You got Galatians, you got James chapter 2, right? Stay there for a moment. Just let me read this. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. That means succeeding and prospering, overflowing, right? Always abounding in the what? The work of the Lord. I'm going to talk to you today about works. It goes on to say, knowing that your labor, happy Labor Day, is not in vain in the Lord. Amen? Now let's go to James chapter 2. I spend so much time in Galatians now, I think that's the only book, maybe. Verse 14. I know I didn't say it. Some of these you'll just have to get there when I get there. Is that okay? Huh? Can we have a good time? Now, anything I say today, don't let it produce condemnation in your heart. He said we get understanding, we grow up, we understand what it means to be sons and daughters of the living God, right? So if there's something we're not seeing clear, we ask the Lord right now that we could see clear and our hearts to perceive. That when we walk out of here that we're changed. Not been beaten over the head by the Bible make us feel worse, but that we see truth and truth changes us from the inside out. Amen? This is in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you did not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Now that's sobering, guys. That's faith in action. It's not sitting at home, God bless them, their children, their family, and they're over there starving and hungry and naked. It says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well, but guess what? Even the demons believe and tremble. We have the fear of the Lord. But you do not want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by his works was made perfect? And Scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Oh my. That's another time. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers? Now that could be confusing because she lied as well, but it's not talking about the lie, it's talking about what she did right. Amen? And sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Well, what might be said then? We're not saved by works, are we? Huh? The just shall live by faith. What are you telling me this morning? I mean, because we're saved by grace, not by works, and any man should boast, right? Come on, are we being confusing here? Is there a contradiction in the Bible? Is there something that we're not seeing clear? Is there a disconnect between faith and works, or do they work together? See, I have faith, and say, I'll show you my faith by my works, right? They work together, absolutely. Now, this is what I want to do. I want to lay the foundation real quick. I am all about being. We are human beings, not human doings. Okay? Our goal is to become who He says we are to become. Sons and daughters of Him. Right? I preached the last time. I talked about Christ being formed in you. Paul even says, I will continue to labor until Christ is formed in you. And if you heard me teach one time, you hear the word love over and over because we are to become love. We're not to do love. We are to become love. And what is my point this morning? My point is that He died for you and me and the stone was rolled away. And He lives inside of us and He teaches us what it means to be a son. And that is who we are in Him. Nothing can take that away. He'll never leave us nor He will ever forsake us. And His love is deep, it's wide, it's high, it's long, right? And we learn these things and we try to just meditate on these truths so we can become those very things. Because He saved us, right? He showed us mercy so we become mercy. He showed us love so we become love. He showed us forgiveness so we could be forgiving, right? We don't disconnect from who He says we are. But see, I wonder sometimes what we're thinking, because if 80% of the church is not doing anything, where's the disconnect? But I have faith, brother. I believe that there's a God. Well, even the demons believe. Let's go a little higher with our thoughts and our understanding. You with me this morning? And this is what I want to submit to you this morning. What is He saying here? And what am I saying to you? That if you become like Jesus, you can't help but do good works. Unless we come into this just to get to heaven. Unless we just want to feel better about ourselves. Because this book and His grace and the gospel of Jesus is about life transformation. And you'll never be the same. You can't look to His eye and can't worship Him because you become what you worship. You become what you behold. You can't look Him in the eye and stay the same the way you are. And how in the world can we sit in seats day in and day out, week by week by week, and not lift a finger and say that we're in the faith? And I'm not just talking about the church here. I'm talking about your sphere of influence. We've made the church all about, we made Christianity all about going to church. And we check it off on our little surveys and our resumes that we're Christian. But in reality, we're Christian because people look at our lives and say, He looks like Jesus. She looks like Jesus. Not because I've made up something in my head that I think that I'm something when I'm really nothing and I don't represent Him. Come on. I'm not beating you over the head with this. I'm telling you, let's just get clear understanding of why we're here and what the gospel means for us. Huh? Well, I've got all kinds of scriptures. They just bombarded my heart whenever I was just meditating upon this. So let me be clear as we go. Go with me to... Let's go to John, last chapter, verse chapter 21, the last verse. Let's not be ones that seem greater things are yet to come and greater things are yet to be done in this city and we do nothing. But we're saved by grace, brother. That grace transformed me to look like Jesus in life. What does it say about Jesus? And there are also other many things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. John chapter 15. Verse 1. I am the true vine, not me. Red letters here. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Why? We'll find out. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. Oh boy. And it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. What is he saying, guys? In 17 of John, he prays that we would become one. As he and the Father is one. What is he saying? If you make me your home, if you abide in me, the very life that flows through me will reach itself out through the branches. And you don't have to strive. You don't have to try to work for it. It comes natural that an apple tree produces apple if it's nourished right. Come on. Now you cut the branch off, it will bear no fruit. It will lay there and wither on the ground, correct? He's saying is if we make our home in Him, this is what the gospel is about, that we could be reunited with the one who spoke us into existence. Because you're not here by an accident. You're not here because man went into woman. You're here because God knew you from the beginning of time. And boy, that's strong in me right now. You're not an accident. You're here because He loves you and He wants to teach you what it means to be in Him. You're not a failure. You just haven't seen clear all these years. And the mistakes that you made, if you saw clear then, you wouldn't have made them. But today is your day of salvation. And this is where I'm at in my life and my understanding is the fact is if I become like Jesus, everything else comes natural. Everything becomes the expression of my life because I've died and been crucified with Him that He may live through me. And if He lives through me, there is no way I could walk past people in need and have His nature and go your way and be warmed and be filled and look away to their need and not do anything about it. Because that's not the sap flowing through the vine. We look at the eyes of a king who loves his people, who's willing to lay down his life for his people. He saw our need. He saw our depravity. And while yet we were sinners and helpless and in need of a Savior, He came for you and I. And He tells us to go. He tells us to express the same love that's in Him, to let it come through us and be the expression of our heart. But how many people are we walking by day in and day out and day in and day out? How many people that live two doors down that are hurting and suffering and need a touch and need somebody to represent Christ, and we just continue to walk by them day in and day out because we got our life and our thing and what we want to do. Because again, I say it again, He told us to deny ourself. Love does not seek after its own. Luke chapter 10. Are you with me this morning? I'm just feeling good. If I'm coming strong, I'm sorry. It's just in me. I want to see you run well, guys. Because I don't want to try to do ministry. I want to become like the one who naturally lived out love. And nobody has to organize an outreach for me to become love for the day and feel better about myself. There's nothing wrong with outreach. There's nothing wrong with getting together and going out and witnessing the community. But it shouldn't stop there. It should be with you all the time and never take a break. Yeah, but I don't want to burn out, brother. Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because if you're in Him, He doesn't wear out. And it's a river of living water that flows through you. And you can't help because the love is bubbling inside of you. That you just look at a person, you see their need, and your heart grows in compassion for them. And you're not doing it so you can feel better about yourself. You're not doing it so they would do something for you in return. You're doing it because you become love and you see that they're suffering and not on my watch, right? Verse 23:5. I must repent right now before you. I never understood why people always complain about their ailments and their age. I was kneeling before the Lord. I figure I better do it now before every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. So I might as well just bow before Him now, right? And not worry about what people think. And getting up, it was a little tough. I had to sit for a moment because I had sea legs. And now my eye can't see that 25 real well. So if I say the wrong one, you just catch up with me, okay? Luke 10, verse 25 reads, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Him." Oh my, we're so analytical, aren't we? "Saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" I love that response. "So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Did he sum up the law with two commands? What was the action verb? Love Him with all you have. And love your neighbor as yourself. Come on. If you don't love yourself this morning, let's talk. Quit gaining your esteem by the way life has treated you and the way people have treated you. Christ has come. Now you can have the esteem that He speaks over you. And He said to him, "You rightfully answer, do this and you will live." But him wanting to justify himself, but he said to Jesus, "Okay, let's get technical. Who is my neighbor?" Sounds a little smug. Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man down from Jerusalem to Jericho fell among the thieves. He stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." Well, here's what's going to happen. Let me set this up. The preachers are going to walk by. Probably to preach a sermon about doing God's love. And a certain priest came down that the road and saw him and passed him by the other side. Didn't even look his way. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. This guy's not very popular at this moment by the preachers. We ain't got time because we got to build a church. Got to build a big congregation, get a big building so we have a big budget. Nothing wrong. That can't be our motivation. Likewise, a certain Samaritan, the nobody, the looked down upon, the no one nobody cares about in Israel. Boy, you're talking about stinging their heart right now. You're talking about being pointed in your language. Well, let me use the people that you guys don't care about, the least of these. Let me show you what he did. "As he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal. He brought him to an inn and took care of him. Somewhere in the Samaritan's heart, he understood the extra mile. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So there, which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Not pass him by. Come on. Take care of him. Love him. Do good. Do good to them. Didn't say the guy deserved it. Just said he needed love. We infer a little bit. Well, what are we doing? What's our motivation? Where's the strong why behind what we do? If I'm not up here to love you, then I need to take a seat. There's something pulling on my heart for me to be seen, and I told them, this is for me to live out. This is not for me to preach. I'd rather my life preach it. I'd rather be the breakthrough for others so they would do the same, that they would see they're made for so much more. There's so much more to life than what they're living. There's so much garbage that they're listening to. There's so many voices they're giving weight to, and their heart is turned, and it's turned wicked, and they don't see clear. It's not for me to try to set people straight, and I'm not trying to set you straight this morning. I want you to see who you are in Him, and when you're established in Him and abiding in Him, you can't help yourself but become compassionate. Because that's who He is. Because we get to partake in His divine nature. And God is love. And love is kind. It's patient. It never fails. It covers a multitude of sins. And He even says that Christ is love. His love compels us. That's why I want you to be established in being. Because when you're being, then you'll start doing. Because it becomes who you are. Not somebody you're trying to be. It's who you are in Him. 1 John chapter 2. I said 1 John, Anderson. Not John. Are we okay? I'm telling you guys, this is convicting to me too. I'm going to try to pretend to be something in front of you so I can get your acceptance. That's so far from truth. I'm telling you that I want to see needs. My heart burns for people, and I need to come out of my little shell and stop thinking about my life so much and start turning my life inward and see people's need and love them, and love them the way God wants to love them, so they can encounter the real, that they could see the genuine. Because there's so much hypocrisy in the church, and people have been touched the wrong way by people who, you know, just misrepresent Him wrong. Or did I say that right? Don't represent Him well. And guess what? They think we're a bunch of hypocrites. They think we're mean. They think we're judgmental and critical. And they're right. Why? Because we have limits to where we're willing to go with this. We'll love you to a point. But His love was out without limit. I'm so thankful that He loved me through and through and all the way. Because if He stopped at that thing that I did when I was 25, whatever it was, then what for me? If He wore out because I did something wrong over and over, however many times that I did it, and He says, well, I'm done with that guy. I just can't get through to him. He's just terrible. I just give up on him. He's just no good. He won't listen. Look, Father, look at him again. There he goes again. I don't care how many tears he cries. I'm turning my back on him. I'm done. I'm washing my hands of him. He can go on about his merry little way. What if he treated us the way we treat other people? You know what that is? You're telling on yourself. You're disconnecting from love. Because there comes a point where it starts to impact you, and you start seeking your own, and you take into account wrongs that are suffered, and you quit rejoicing in the truth, and you start letting your heart get twisted towards the person, and they don't get to receive the mercy that Christ gave you. That's why we're to forgive. That's why we're to forgive, because we've been forgiven for so much. Oh, me. Help us, Lord. Help me. pray, if I'm not that example to you, you show me that. It's not about being a pastor anymore. I just get so hung up on that stuff. I want to do ministry, and I want to do this, and I get these big dreams, and old men, young men will have visions and dreams, and I let that stuff get to my head where it twisted my heart, and I lost sight on the whole motivation of this thing is His love, and His love towards people, and becoming the very love, because I am His hands and His feet, and we are the body. Now by this we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Guys, we just summed it up in two. Love Him with all you have, and love your neighbor as yourself. And we had an example. What does it mean to love your neighbor? Amen? I'm not frustrated. I'm just thinking because I hear the world crying out. Is there a church out there that actually even loves anymore? Is there a people of God out there that will accept me for who I am? I'm not saying you accept their behavior. We're not sidestepping sin. We're agreeing with God of their potential in Christ if they would see clear. And we're wanting to beat people up with the Bible, and then we go home and we do the same things. And we try to live our lives to this place, so we protect our heart because we want to feel good about ourselves. And we say that our sins are minimal in God's eyes, but your sin is major. It says this, if I can find it. But whoever keeps his word, that truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Here's that word. But he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. You abide in him. You become one with him. He's the vine. You're the branches. Well, that's me. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. We're not him. But we follow him. He said, come after me and follow me. Because he was going to model the life that God had for us. Has for us. Are you with me this morning? Let's not con ourselves. Why are we here? What are we doing? And I know this church. I know it's very loving. I know that there's things that go on outside these walls. Don't get me wrong. This is not, I'm not thinking of anybody. I'm just telling you what's in my heart. I'm telling you, even research says that 20% of the church is doing 80% of the work. John Maxwell talked about it. Research has been done about it. And I'm not asking you to sweep floors, pass out bulletins. I'm asking you to see a neighbor in need. Take a little bit out of your vacation fund. Take a little bit out of there. And just trust God that He is who He says He is, and He's faithful to what you sow, you'll reap. Or you reap what you sow. You know. There's that moment I just had. Come on. Jesus said that we would do greater works. We haven't seen it all yet. And I think that there's a little discontent in the body because we want to see that there's more. To see that there's more, our motive has to be right. It has to be the fact that we love people. That we don't want to glory in the fact that 20 people are healed so we can broadcast that outline so more people will come in so we can fill our seats up. No, each and every person that is touched by the Father is in relationship and love with that person. And maybe they don't know yet. And maybe His love is pursuing them at that moment. But it's about them and Him. Not about a preacher. Not about me laying hands on the sick. Not about you laying hands on the sick. It's about love. And it's about a burning, passionate, outrageous, profuse, extravagant love for humanity because that person is suffering and needs a touch from heaven. And thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we are the people that He's chosen, and we're the best He's got. Come on, if He wanted to, He can come back again. If He wanted to, He can change the script. Come back, lay hands on everybody, and fall out. Big Holy Spirit revival. Bam. No. He said, I'm going to leave. And I'm going to leave with you the Spirit. Spirit of truth and love and power. He's going to fill you guys. And you're going to go. And you're going to make disciples. And you're going to tell the good news that I came and I conquered. And guess what? Here we are today. And we're even the ones that are blessed because we didn't even get to see. But we believe because we've heard the word and it struck our heart. Not because we want to become religious, because we need Him and we need a relationship with Him. And we see how good He really is, and it changes and impacts us forever. And we'll never be the same. Come on. He's so good. Matthew chapter 5. I think I'm doing pretty good on time. God is good. I know your time is precious. And I thank you for giving me your ear for just a few moments. It's very humbling. Very humbling that Layla got that song. It was so beautiful. I thought she did it. I thought the whole team did an absolute wonderful job. I love that song, Worthy of It All. And it kind of combines with Eric's as I exalt thee. Love it. It was so good this morning. You almost want to just sit here and just bask in His presence. It says, you've heard it's... verse 43. Kylie, I got to get better at that. See, I'm on this iPad, so I just scroll down, right? And I say it, and I hear all those pages. It's like, sorry. 43, thank you. Chapter 5 in Matthew, verse 43. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you. Oh, that's so sobering. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Jesus, the whole theme, He's coming in, He's saying, you say, but I say. You say, but I say. You say the way that seems right to man. I'm speaking the language of heaven. And He says this. You say you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say love your enemies, bless those who curse you. No, you curse them back in the American church. You stand up for your rights. They slap you once, okay, maybe I'll slap the other one, but he never said anything about a third cheek. Unless you turn around, then it gets a little awkward. Come on, I've heard it. I've heard people justifying their heart for them to get into the flesh and have an opportunity to strike back instead of taking on the heart of humility. And yet we watch our wonderful founding fathers and the disciples get beat up in Jesus' name and get up and start rejoicing because they were beaten in Jesus' name and they were worthy of that beating. And we're seeing brothers and sisters across this globe right now, today, might be under heavy oppression and standing strong in the midst of persecution and rejoicing and being exceedingly glad. And they're of good cheer because they know Jesus has overcome the world. And in America, we cling to our rights. You don't talk to me like that. Don't you dare step to me like that. I'm not going to pray for you. And then we call up the prayer chain. You just don't know what they said to me. You don't know what they've done to me. Can you call about 10 people and let's pray for this? Let's pray for that person. And they'll see clear, right? Well, yes, you need to pray that they see clear. First thing you need to do is pray that you see clear. When we hang on to our pride and our arrogance, if we're not careful, it'll get the best of us. So that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? What if I compared you to today's politician? How would you feel about that? Do not the politicians tell the truth part of the time? Come on. You say people don't lie in church? Well, do not politicians tell the truth part of the time? What was the opinion of the tax collectors at that time? What is your opinion of Uncle Sam today? Especially recently, right? Boy, he's stinging them. Okay, you love them, but so do they. Uh-oh. Can you imagine their heart and their countenance sinking every time Jesus spoke, because He spoke with love and authority and truth, and there was nothing they could say. They just grow mute, right? Well, He got me there. You got me there. But we need to have that same attitude. You got us. Now let our eyes see clear and let us become this very truth that You're speaking to us right here, right now. I don't want to wait another second. I don't want to justify anything in my flesh. I'm going to live my life in spirit and in truth. Why? Because He's looking for worshipers who will worship in spirit and in truth. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Listen to this, that you shall be perfect. We go around saying, I'm not perfect. Right? Well, you're never going to be perfect, but He's made you perfect. Just as your Father is in heaven is perfect. When we walk in love, we're being perfected. Paul says that I'm confident in this very thing, that He began good work in me and will continue to perfect me until His day. Right? Any good? He's perfecting you right now. Some of you are looking at me like, can we wrap this up? But I got to look into your eye because I got to see where you're at. Because if the eye is single and it's good, you'll be full of light. And I can share that same union with you. Because we're all in this together. This is not about me teaching you. It's about you already knowing this and it being reminded to you. You guys are too seasoned. And the message is so simple. Love God, all you got. Deny yourself. You not love your life. You give it to Him. And then you love your neighbor as yourself. You become that very love so that His gospel can go forth. Amen? Go up a little bit to verse 13. We're going to close it up. Now here's the concern. Get a good few hearty amens and we've had a good time and boy, you stepped on my toes and I don't want to step on your toes. I want to encourage you to do right. Okay? I'm not setting you straight today. Don't look at my passion about this and say, oh, he's angry. I'm not angry. I want us to get it right. My frustration stems from the fact that I've seen wrong so many years. I was in churches. And I was a religious dude. And I associated myself with religion. And reading the Bible was my checklist. And doing a few outreaches was my checklist. Singing a few songs was my checklist. And I had the Christian t-shirt, Christian bumper. But I never connected with God. I never truly sought His heart in the matter. I was pretending to be something I was not. So let me pick on myself and be transparent. just in the last 4 or 5 years, and some of you have been very encouraging, have seen the growth in me. So I disconnected myself from love, and it was all about me. I was trying to protect, preserve this life that I had built up in my head. And every time that I'd look like I was taking a step back, I'd immediately become frustrated with God. And we're frustrating people in the kingdom because we're teaching these things and then they don't see it and then they're angry and upset and questioning God. Why? Instead of becoming like Christ and taking on a new perspective, having that mind renewed so you understand what's going on and you shine through those moments as opposed to cower down and take the victim. And it's wrecked a lot of people and it wrecked me. This is who we are, guys. Verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but the salt loses its flavor. How shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Do we have a responsibility? Are we the flavor? Are we the seasoning? It says, you are the light of the world. He comes and says, I am the light, right? Right? Well, how do we become the light? We crucify ourselves with Him. And He lives through us. And He is the light. I want to be in the light as He is in the light. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men that they may see your what? Your good works. Your good works. And glorify your Father in heaven. You want to bring Him glory? Go do good. If they call you a do-gooder, say, yes I am. And I want to do good to you too. I want to do right by you. And I have an answer for you. His name is Jesus. And guess what? He can heal that elbow. He can heal that knee. He can heal that back. And if you're being oppressed by something bigger than you, He can cast that out too. He told us to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead. Not that we're supernatural, paranormal hunters, but is that we have authority given to us by Christ because we are the city on the hill. We are the church of Him. We're His church. We're prime real estate. He died to get inside of us. He loves us. He wants to use us. He wants to use you this week. He wants to use you today at the marketplace, at the restaurant. All you got to do is give Him your ear and God makes and that lady comes to you, gives you her your order or whatever, and all of a sudden you're like, do you have a problem in your knee? Oh, how did you know I had a car wreck back in 05? It's been hurting me for years upon years. But guess what, sweetheart? The kingdom has come and the kingdom is near because Christ lives in me. Pain, get out of that knee. And then she's wrecked because she's been touched by the love of a master. And she sees that God is good. And that it's not about hypocrisy in the church, but He is good. And she finally comes in contact with somebody who understands and knows Him. I want to know Him. I don't want to know about Him. I want to know Him. We just read it. I want to know Him. If I had to step down from this, go away for a while, I want to know Him. To know Him is to become one with Him. Man and woman shall leave, right? And they'll become, and they will know each other. Got people all around you. We don't have to have a big budget blaster outreach. If we get our hearts set on fire by Him who baptizes in fire and spirit, if our hearts would just come alive, if our ears become tuned to Him, if we would begin to love the way He's called us to love, if we would just listen, if we will quit thinking about ourselves and our day and stop and just give Him a second of our time, think about the impact that we could have. How many people are in here? I'm not good at guessing. 80? Think if 80 lives were touched because each of us, not the pastor, not the associate, not not whatever, the worship team, what if all of us this week touch somebody that their lives are changed forever? Come on, we say we want revival. We just had revival. Revival is not a set of sermons for three nights. Come on now, we just had it, and if we're not out doing, did it do its purpose? I'm not asking you to get on the box, preach on the street corner. I'm asking you to see somebody in need. Give them a cup of water. Give them one of your extra coats in your closet. You don't have to have 12. And watch God just probably give it back to you out of His great love. It's He who sows generously, reaps generously. It may not come back in a coat. It may come back in that family member that their lives get changed and impacted forever. And it doesn't have to come back. Why do we always have to look for something in return? That's love with strings attached. Why can't we just love and love people and say, because you're worth it. Because you matter to me. Well, we got it all twisted. Just bow your head. I'm going to ask Layla to come. And whoever's coming with her. You can stand, sit, whatever you're comfortable with. I believe the Holy Spirit can work with you in either way. First and foremost today, if you don't have a relationship with the One that loves you more than you'll ever know. Paul wrote that we would comprehend His love. I think she said earlier it was because it's just words can't express the love that He has. Sometimes it's hard to communicate it because it's so outrageous. It's so out there. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that's why you're here. Because He loves you. He spoke you into existence. He's known you since the beginning of time. You've been set apart from your mother's womb. You're here that you can understand that you're a son and you're a daughter. And that Jesus saved everything that was lost back in the garden. You were created in His image. You're wonderful made. You're wonderfully made. And we love you here. There's no judgment here. I don't care what you've done, because on your worst day, He still died for you. He still loved you 100% of the time, 100% of the way. We are not dictated by our past, because tomorrow is not our yesterday. Tomorrow is a new day in Christ. If you want to come, I'd love to talk to you. Because if you give your life away to Him, you'll never be the same. He says that He will accept you in the beloved because He loves you. It's not something that you have to work for. It's not something that you have to strive to be or strive to do. All you got to do is receive it. Come on, that's you this morning. Go ahead and stand with me, guys. Go ahead and stand with me. You stand. It's okay. Unless you want me. You guys want to sit? Sit. Today, God has spoken to you. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I just ask you this. I ask you not to have a fig leaf mentality where you run from God. I want you to run to Him right now. I want you to just express your heart and your love towards Him to say, God, I'm going to see that person in need. This is what you created me for. I want to represent you and represent you well, and I want your love to shine through me. God, I want to see those people's needs met, Lord, and I want an opportunity, Lord, to open up when they see your love, God, and they know that I care, that God, I can give a reason for the hope that is in me, and the hope of glory is you, Jesus. And that opportunity, that door swing wide open, and you get a chance to share Jesus with people because you took just a few minutes of your day to listen to the Holy Spirit, to love on somebody, to meet their need. To do, and I give. If you need any prayer for me today. If this is the other side of Labor Day, if you're not at rest today, please come. If your mind is all frazzled and you can't think straight, that's not God's will. That is not His best. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you life. If you need healing today, you can come as well.
Changed by the power.
come alive now. It's not bad. I said, stand. You want to sit? You bunch of stubborn people. That's okay. It's all right.